Well, good morning, Texas. This is program number 51, if I'm correct with my numbers, which I'm not from the beginning, but in recently, I know around 51. Welcome to the Cup of Goodness. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. We're going to get off the attack trail a little bit, and we're going to look at something spectacular called grace. Amazing grace. Now, Paul, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward." Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." So Paul's ministry is to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, it's true that every dispensation, God's grace took place. But this is the only dispensation of grace, where the entire dispensation is based on the gospel of the grace of God. And that's the dispensation we're living in right now as Gentiles. If we were to go back to the Old Testament and study the word grace, and this is what I do. I have this Bible concordance online. I type in the word grace, and I see all the verses that have the word grace in them. And you'll see differences. You'll see some similarities, but most of the time you will see some differences. For example, in the Old Testament, sure, Noah found grace, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, the key there is the phrase, "in the eyes of the Lord." All the references that deal with God's grace talks about being seen in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6:8. And that's the first time you use the word, you see the word grace. Genesis 19:19. "Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy." So you will see grace also being used in different contexts. The ones we're looking for are the ones where, like Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Jacob said, for example, the earthly grace from somebody else, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight." Esau, "Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord." Joseph found grace in his sight. Genesis 47, "And they said, thou hast saved our lives, let us find grace in the sight of my Lord." Moses, Exodus 33, verse 12, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." So this grace in the Old Testament is a visual. So if it's going to be visual, it's based on their walk. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Moses found grace in my sight, the Lord says there. Exodus 33:17, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Again, the Lord sees these people doing the right thing and offers them their grace. Exodus 34, verse 9, "And he said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and sin, and take us for thine inheritance." So, concerned that God would see them and find grace in his sight. Another prayer, "Wherefore said they, If we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession." That's in Numbers 32, verse 5. Judges 6:17, "And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest to me." Everybody's looking to see something that brings about grace in people's lives. David in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3. "The Father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes, and he saith, Let not Jonathan know this." Well, why not let him know that? Well, this is grace. Psalm 45, verse 2. "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever." So because this person had grace in their mouth, God blessed them forever. Psalm 84, verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So see, they received God's grace. God found grace in his sight with these people. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. So in the Old Testament, grace was based on their walk. It truly was. But when Paul says, which I have received the ministry of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God, we're looking at it differently than it was in the Old Testament. If we go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. So this grace that we're talking about today is brought about by faith. Now, look at these two verses closely. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. So if we're talking about this peace is through Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith, by whom? Could it possibly be talking about the faith of Jesus Christ? Well, sure it could be. Wherein we stand. Well, don't we stand in his faith? Sure we do. Let me show you something in Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. See, so we're trusting on his faith for that access into his grace. Romans 5:2 again, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Yes, by whom, which is Jesus Christ, also have access by faith. It's by his faith. By whom? We have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. Marvelous couple of verses there. So what we're going to do here this morning, let's just take a cup of goodness highlights this morning, and let's look at amazing grace. Just going to look and see what God tells us about grace. Let's go back now. Let's go to Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 4, 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Remember, that's his faith. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is a father of us all. So therefore it is of faith. Romans 5:15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So we see that this gift by grace and this access by faith is referring to his faith, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. It's his faith. And we receive this grace of God. Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So this grace is not just God ignoring what we do down here. Something had to happen for this grace to take place. This grace is not just an adjective, but it's a noun. Again, Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Is it our righteousness? Is it our faith? No, it has to be talking about his righteousness and his faith. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Through righteousness. King James Bible. The right walk. The right talk as such. Through righteousness. Doing the right thing based on the dispensational teachings. Unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, the answer to that is God forbid. Then he explains it. So some people would say, well, let's do such and such, and then that gives God a chance to really put forth his grace. No, there's more to it than that. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. The sin is still in my flesh, Romans chapter 7. But we are no longer under the dominion of sin. We've been cut away from that. We're no longer under the law. We are under grace. So that's why the next question, what then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Well, the answer is God forbid. And then he goes on in that chapter and explains why that isn't a good way to look at it. Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. If it's works, it's not grace. If it's grace, it's not works. You can't mix them up. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So we have been given an abundant grace. 2 Corinthians 9:14, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. Isn't that interesting how these guys would perceive the grace that was given to Paul? What did they see in his daily life? What did they see in his manner of life? What did they hear in his speech? What did he do? And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, how did they perceive? What did they see in Paul that had that grace involved? Remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9? For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Their faith toward Godward is something that people saw. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You step away from that as your definition of religion, then people aren't going to see what they need to see. Well, what do they need to see? Well, every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. That's what they need to see. Now back to James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they, who's they? James, Cephas, and John. Who else would they be? Matthew, Mark, Luke. All the Old Testament apostles, we could call them such. Well, is Jesus there? Yes, he came back. That we should go unto the heathen, and they into the circumcision. We, heathen, Paul, Barnabas, and that crowd, they into the circumcision, James, Cephas, and John, that's to the circumcision. Now, Galatians chapter 2 also says here, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as Paul, uncircumcision to the Gentiles, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, and that's the Jews, that's Jesus. There's the differences. There's another verse that shows that Jesus isn't sitting over there with the Jews this time. We know what he did in Ephesians chapter 2 and in Ephesians chapter 3. So Peter and those guys went on to the circumcision. Paul and Barnabas and his friends went on to the uncircumcision. But let's look at some more verses about grace. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. If anybody feels lonesome or feels left out of the scene or rejected or cast down, we are accepted in the beloved to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So we have his grace. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Grace isn't just some little thing that God says, okay, you go ahead and do what you want. That's his grace. No, he's taking care of sin. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. And that grace that he gives us, verse 6, makes us accepted in the beloved. And according to the riches of his grace, well, we're dead to sin. He's quickened us together with Christ. We've received the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in sins, in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So the riches of his grace, the fruits of his grace, the results of his grace, there are two of them, redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. Now we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins. Remember, a lost person is dead in sins. A saved person, based on the risen Savior, is dead to sin. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, comma, parentheses, by grace ye are saved. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:8, next verse, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now you read those verses, and that ought to make sense to you now because we've talked about it even in our church study Sunday mornings. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, it's an entire dispensation of. Ephesians 3:7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Read that verse slowly. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And then some words to us, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So we should be edifying. Now here we go for us musicians. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace in your heart. Last verse, Philemon 1, verse 25, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, amen. And he'll be with your spirit, not your soul. Interesting stuff, isn't it? I have something here, it's called Amazing Grace. I mean, that's all the verses on grace. It's a pretty powerful thing. Our speech should always be with grace. We are justified by his grace. We received the gift of salvation because of his grace. We are able to see the exceeding riches of his grace this very day. It's by grace we are saved. His grace has made us accepted in the beloved. My grace is sufficient for thee. That's all we need. We have what we need to have. So I call this program this morning Amazing Grace. And here's some of the things about Amazing Grace. I am amazed at how some folks just don't get or don't want to even try to understand Paul's teachings. Okay, I am amazed at how frustrated some Christians allow themselves to be, no matter what is going on in their lives. It's amazing. Why should any of us ever be frustrated with what we've learned about the rightly divided King James Bible? I am amazed at how some Christians must just like to thrive in misery and frustration. They have chances to get out. They have a way to get out, but they just don't seem to want to. It's that snare of the devil. They're just happy inside that little cage. They may leave it for a couple months, a couple years, but they'll go back and the devil will slam that door again. I've seen it happen many times. I am amazed at how little the Bible still means to people. I'm amazed how little the Bible still means to people. It doesn't mean hardly anything to anybody. And I'm amazed everybody calls their Bible the Word of God, but when somebody comes along and says the King James Bible is the Word of God, they get all angry. But if you're pressed to people, they really don't believe that their Bible is the Word of God totally, just parts of it. I'm amazed at that. You know, people like to sing Amazing Grace from all denominations, from all, even those that are not Christians. Amazing Grace is just done with all sorts of many different styles of music, and that's quite the thing. I don't remember if I actually read that verse about music, and grace. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. Do you see how much outwardness music has become? Singing with grace in your hearts is what Paul talks about. Amazing. It's an amazing grace. So more amazement. I'm amazed at so many folks who are still not willing to at least attempt to make some serious changes in their lives when they know now even better how to please God by looking to Paul and all that Christ has done for them. I'm amazed at those moms and dads who still don't get it. They don't get it. They actually fight somebody talking to their kids about their risen Savior. I'm amazed at how many folks think Paul is only about grace, you know, the dispensation of grace. But that's not true. His gospel is called the gospel of grace, but his manner of life is our pattern for living. So we learn from Paul's day-to-day life how we should be living our day-to-day life. Paul's message is more about how somebody who is now saved can now learn to please God in their personal walk. Not just live any way they choose, wanting to claim grace. Christians just don't understand what understanding is. You know what? Christians are happier in their own little church rut. Nobody's going to say anything to those folks. Christians think things are fine other than for the lost. Well, things really aren't fine. There's a falling away. The devil is now working again to get people duped so when Antichrist steps up to the plate, they're ready and waiting for him. So amazing grace. The grace of God is an amazing thing. In the Old Testament, they had to earn it. And in the New Testament, it's there. It's there for people to pick and claim it. This is a dispensation of grace. There's been grace all the other dispensations, but this is the only one where the whole dispensation is designed by grace. It truly is amazing grace.